This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Driven by our D&M Leasing Studios, live from Radio Row in New Orleans, it's the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece.
Ho!
Right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Turn it up!
Hey, hit us up on YouTube or Twitch or just text
Heck
it.
Yeah, huh?
877-881-1053. Was that signature like way louder?
Yeah, was that 13 out of 10 in your ears?
Because we all like jumped up and we're like, oh.
Let's go.
All right.
Last day at the Super Bowl.
That is true.
Have you ever been in a club where everybody started dancing to the song? Like in like not line dancing, but kind of like a
I haven't been in a club in forever.
Oh, yeah. I have.
Last night, Carter and I and Reggie were over at this club listening to music, and everybody just starts dancing like the Cupid.
What was the song?
I can't remember now.
You can find me in the club. Rub-a-dub-a-dub.
It was awesome, though, man. I love stuff like that. All the people having fun. On a Friday.
What do you think?
I think we have so much longer to go, Mike, and I just don't know.
Three more hours.
You got this, man.
Not much longer, buddy.
Shut up. I know what you're talking about with the KNC Masterpiece right here at 105.3 The Fan, and I want to do a combo platter, 877-881-1053. Give us a sports opinion, and then what is your number one food to have this Sunday? So your Super Bowl snack edition. Now, yes, I don't know if he found the audio. I hope not. This is kind of from the ill-fated list I did where I said Spanish artichoke dip. And you guys were like, what the hell are you talking about? And I just was like, I don't know. Don't people like that?
You should make it up, though. Whatever. Yeah. How do you make up Spanish? I'm trying to think like you put like, I don't know. What Spanish?
You put some Spain like, in it.
Really lost a lot of steam on
you
that.
You have artichoke, you have cream cheese, and now you got to Spanish it up.
How do you span it? How do you make it more Spain?
I don't know.
In the gladiator.
Okay.
Spaniard.
Yes, that's true.
Except it's not from Spaniard.
Give us a sports opinion, and then...
He's from Caesar.
Oh, my God. What is your number
Caesar
one...
Caesar salad.
Oh, my...
It's not Roman
Spanish
salad.
Artichoke dip.
All right. Hey, let's be serious.
What's your number one?
Let's be serious for half a second.
Somebody just talked about laughter. A day without laughter is a disaster.
Okay.
You're so lucky
you've
living
laughed.
In Big D.
So
that's
now.
From Lasher Z.
Stop.
All right.
All right. Be serious, Corey.
Sports opinion.
Uh-huh. Oh, great.
Over just a couple of block booths over is Claire Kittle, George Kittle's wife. And I just kind of want to tell her she's awesome because I have a lot of respect for couples that really seem to love each other. Like, there's you can see it, right? You can see when couples really have a real strong connection with each other, and they put up with their other one, but they also care about them so much. She's awesome, and I wonder how many football NFL wives are really like they are awesome like that, and it's a really cool connection that they have. So that's my sports opinion.
Okay,
she's not in the Super Bowl. Now, but she's here just hanging out.
Will you walk up and say it normal, or will you see her walking away and be like, hey, they're awesome.
I think you're awesome. That's probably how it's going to go because I just don't want to bug her. You know, she's really cool, man. And they're into wrestling. They're big time into wrestling.
That is
but
true.
Every game, Mike, every game.
Like real wrestling?
Like WWE, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, or AEW. Yeah. But every game. He walks over to her, and she pushes him as hard as she can to kind of fire him up. And it's his thing. They love it. I really think that's a cool thing.
Food. She's on the sideline?
Mm-hmm. Right before the game, yeah.
Not like during the game.
Like, like the Cowboys fans are all down there on the sideline while they're warming up and stuff. It's like that. Not during the game. She goes up to the suite for that. The food,
and then
Kevin.
And you push him back like you push him, and you're like, I'm your wife now, B.
No, you know. Kevin... I gotta figure out how to get some New Orleans kind of food. So I think I'm gonna make a jambalaya or a gumbo on Sunday.
What is the difference?
Rice. The amount of rice.
Oh.
Or liquid.
Yeah, jambalaya has
liquid.
Yeah, jambalaya has a lot of rice, and then it has the sausage in it. But gumbo sometimes has that too. But it also kind of depends on if you're doing crawfish or if you're doing crab, you know, whatever seafood you want to throw into it.
And is it jambalaya or jambalaya?
I think either way.
Yeah.
Okay. Because there was a cool insert set. You remember that for basketball? Jambalaya?
Yeah.
So
for basketball cards.
Really? Was that a real thing?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's like really rare. The Jordan one's worth thousands of dollars.
But you gotta start a good roux. You gotta get a good roux going to start it off. That's the foundation of everything. So
I make a good jambalaya. It's a Rachel Ray recipe. When she used to be on Food Network and did like 30-minute meals. Now it takes me longer than 30 minutes because she can cut a lot faster. I can't cut that fast. So.
Looks like they're bringing you more wings.
Holy
like,
crap!
Looks like they do want wings. Looks like they do want me on that plane.
It's from the 469. Texas Rangers will win 100 games.
Oh, I like this person.
And I can't wait to drink Dr. Pepper and eat pork rinds for the big game. From the 214, the Hall of Fame is trash without Darren Woodson.
Hey,
he should be
in. Dinner with him
and
last
brisket
night.
Queso. Oh,
he was at
what's
our
up? Yeah,
last night.
It's Mr. Eckler, right? Mr.
Yes.
Eckler. Yeah.
Does he just want to? Grab a seat. Yeah.
Hang out.
Yeah, you
want
to come in? We're very nice people.
I don't know where he's going right now.
He probably has a schedule.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's big time.
Was dinner good last night?
We wanted to review the restaurant. We were at the same place last night.
Yeah.
I know you can't hear the other side of the conversation, audience.
This is awesome.
One of the waitresses spilled wine all over a couple of us.
So we got some free stuff. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a good question. Would you want wine spilled on you if you get a lot of free stuff?
Yes. I'll tell you this. Sean immediately flipped the switch into the mode that I would too.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, all right, what can we get out of this? And then there was a discussion. And then what they came up with was the manager came over and said, a round of drinks, whatever you want. Is on them, and so even I ordered a drink just to hand off to somebody else.
Okay.
By the way, for the listening audience, that was Austin Eckler.
Yes. I'm sorry.
We might have Mr. Eckler.
Okay,
done a great job
not
with that.
Not Eckerd's, where you'd get, like, pharmaceutical things. You remember that store?
Yes.
Eckerd's?
Yes, I do.
They've been taken over by Walgreens and CVS.
And I was telling you about this last night, and if we get a chance to talk with him, Austin Eckler's wife is part of a really interesting documentary on Netflix.
Yes.
What is it called?
It's Dance Something. Like, she did dances with her sister, and then her sister joined, like, a cult, and it's very sad, but it's really interesting.
Cults are dangerous.
Thank you, Mike. And, you know, Mike might be the foremost something on that because he watches a lot of those
cult documentaries. Yeah, the Nexium one where there's people in jail, like somebody who was like an actress and she was getting woman slaves and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And tattooing them. And then there were people that worked on Star Wars that were in it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they got out, luckily.
From the 817 Sports Opinion, Tom Brady wasn't the MVP of Super Bowl 51. Now, these are the kinds of sports opinions I like. I want to litigate something from 8 years ago, and let's finally get to the bottom of it. And it should have been James White. And the best thing to eat on Super Bowl Sunday is Little Smokies made in the crock pot.
Dude! Oh, that's so
right. Those are good. I just thought of that.
Good.
Well, after you said it, I was like, that is good.
Put some barbecue sauce on them and throw them in the crock
pot. That is true. I like, so here's what I think. Not just barbecue sauce. A little bit of barbecue sauce, brown sugar, and yellow mustard. And then you mix all that up, and that takes it to another level.
You know what else is good, Mike?
Tell me about it.
Bag of meatballs, all right?
I like making my own meatballs. Well,
okay, fine. Do that. Make your
own
meatballs.
Much better than the bag.
Can of grape jelly, or a jar of grape jelly and cayenne pepper. Guarantee you're going to love it. Guarantee. I was like, this is insane. I had some. They're awesome. I was like, this is crazy.
So they're just like, would I sweet and savory kind of together?
Yeah, it was really, really
okay.
Good. Kevin, by the way, somebody texted in from the 972. You're the MVP. Free drinks, and you didn't pass. Instead, you gave it to a buddy.
So
that was a pro move last night by Kevin.
I learned that a long time ago from Colby Sapp, and I very vividly remember our conversation. Somebody walked up to me at, you know, we used to do a lot of remotes when we were nighttime at different sports bars and everything like that. And somebody had a beer, and they brought it up to me, and they were like, hey, man, I bought you a beer. And I was like, I really appreciate that. It's very nice. Unfortunately, I don't drink. And the response I initially got was, I thought that was a bit for the radio, which I always thought was funny because I was like, because everybody thinks people who don't drink are awesome. And so I told him thank you, but no thank you. And then Colby came up to me and he goes, hey, what the hell was that? And I go, what do you mean? And he goes, what happened to that beer? And I said, no, I don't drink. And he goes, yeah, I know that. Guess who does drink? Me. And so I learned in that moment, don't turn down the free alcohol if I can hand it off to a buddy.
So last night, whenever they said, what would y'all like to drink? Eric looked at him and said, double tequila soda, right? And Kevin goes, yep. And then he got the double tequila soda.
Knuckles.
Nice work, man.
Yeah. Good job. By the way, Bigfoot's mullet chimes in here, and he says, Dancing with the Devil is the Netflix. I guess it's Netflix?
Yeah, it is Netflix. Okay. That sounds right. It's pretty interesting.
All right, so am I supposed to give food or opinion first?
You are supposed to give your sports opinion first.
I'll get it right. I got some time left.
Shut up.
So when it comes to sports opinion, last night, Josh Young, for the first time ever, he had a sports card break. It was on Instagram Live.
Okay.
So I watched it. He did a pretty good job. Josh Young, comeback player of the year in Major League Baseball.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Huh?
This team's going to be really good if that's the case.
That's spicy.
How about that?
Really good.
Comeback player of the year, which is different from having a bad season, right? Like you can just.
They said, the NFL said that was not an allowable excuse
so
anymore.
Are you suggesting he plays 120 games this year?
Yeah.
140. 30 games.
Yeah.
131 games.
Yep.
Stop that.
He can keep asking.
No, I know. 162
games.
No, you will not.
All right.
But
no,
I don't think anybody on the team will. I don't even think Marcus Semien will this year.
What do you consider essentially, I know it's 162 games, but what do y'all think in modern baseball is considered essentially you played a whole season?
Like 145 or above.
Okay, 145 or above.
As obviously a position player.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. All right.
Wait, I haven't given my food thing.
Yeah? How do you know that's not what I was going to say?
All right, go say what you're going to say.
Can you give us your food opinion now?
Okay, so it's a buffalo like chicken dip I make, which I think a lot of people make. It's like cream cheese, ranch dressing, chicken, your like red hot buffalo sauce. There might be a few other ingredients I'm forgetting about, but I just got to make sure and Google it. But people are really excited. Usually like cheddar cheese, like shredded cheddar in there. So that's going to be my thing I bring to the table, and I'm leaving at halftime if my friends are listening. That's how I do.
You're letting them know already that you're
I don't care
off
about Kendrick
halftime.
Lamar. I'm sure he's awesome. I'm sure I've heard some of his songs, but at halftime is when I'm going to take off and get home.
That one has alcohol in it, Jason Worth. I was just letting
that. Dude, this is my guy.
You got a lighter? Or you got something I can open this with?
All right. You want me to keep going? We'll skip the break for now. I'm sorry, Alec. All right. Right now, we bring to you Jason Worth.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And Mike Bacsik is ridiculously excited. He gave us a preview of multiple stories that he wanted to pick your brain about.
Nobody's going to have these stories worthy except me and you.
All right.
I am keeping the chart in Bowie in 1999.
Yes.
You hit a home run off of my teammate Joe Roa. You crushed the ball. I am sit. Do you know where I'm going here?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so
no one's ever talked about this. This will be the first time anybody's ever asked me a question.
But I'm like, he has to remember this because it's the only time in my career, and I'm assuming the only time in your career or a teammate that this ever happened.
I don't know if it's ever. Has it ever happened?
I don't think so. I'm charting the rest of the what you did, hitting a home run, people
great.
Getting knocked in, what the pitch was, velocity.
There's so much to this story.
Jason Wirth, I believe it's 1999, right?
It
might have been 2000.
2000.
Okay, 2000. You're on Bowie. I'm on Akron. Yep. I'm in the stands. Joe Roa is the pitcher, and I look up because there's people now cheering or doing something, and I see Joe Roa and you around the third baseline.
Yeah, I was attacked by the pitcher.
But not until you got to third or were rounding third, third.
So this story goes back to the year before.
Oh,
we're playing the Indians in Kinston, A ball. We're in high A, and there's this is when in A ball they do these crazy things. We have 4-game series. We played 4 games at home and 4 games on the road against Kinston.
Cool.
Over this course of this 8 days, There's a guy named...
I know the catcher, right? Cody Allison.
Cody Allison.
Yep.
So this... Can I cuss on here?
Nope.
No.
Please don't. This guy... Yeah. He was like this little, like, roided up dude. Like, he was on fire. He was hitting lasers everywhere. And I'm catching. And he, like, I think he's DHing or something. But, like, he'd hit the ball. And every time he hit the ball, he'd recoil and fire his bat at me. So for 8 days, I'm like, dude, you're wearing me out. Like, I'm getting drilled with your bat every time. So on the eighth day, I take the bat and step on it. And break it.
Yeah, I didn't know. I knew the story from Cody. I don't know the story from your side of it.
Yeah. So I'm like, dude, like, you got to stop, man. You know, and, like, hits another laser somewhere and then fires the bat off me. So I break the bat and I throw it at the dugout. Like, you know, screw you guys. Look, next time he comes up, he's like, what's up with you breaking my bat? I'm like, what's up with you hit me with it every time you come up here? He throws his helmet off and he charges me. We fight right there. So the next year, we're playing the...
By the way, Cody was a black... I don't know if he still practices. Black belt in karate.
At the time.
Yeah.
Well, I won the fight.
So. Okay. Oh, so Cody didn't say it that way, but I wasn't there.
He tackled me, had me on my back. I rolled over. I gave him the business.
There we go.
I think I poked him in the eye or something, but the team was on top of me. But, I mean, I'm saying I won the fight.
Okay. All right.
We both got kicked out of the game, but that was whatever.
Yeah.
So so then the next year we play the Indians in AA.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm clearly not thinking that there's anything going on.
And by the way, Worthy he's a stud. He's a stud prospect. He's a catcher at the time.
Yep, catcher.
Very
at the time.
Good hitting catcher.
And I did not have a good year that year. That was my worst probably season of my career. And that day. Me and my manager, Andy Etchebaron, basically have it out. And, you know, I'm not playing good, and he's not being a good manager to me. And we ended up, you know, basically going toe-to-toe in his office for like an hour. And it was like probably my worst day as a baseball player. And then I hit a home run, and I, like, this was before, you know, let the kids play and let's pimp every home run and, you know, no big deal. So I hit the home run and then fire my bat like I pimped a homer, you know. But I wasn't pimping the pitcher. I was pimping my manager.
Okay.
You know, like.
I'm charting, so I'm not paying. I know you've hit a bomb. I'm charting everything
and
I have to chart.
I throw my bat. I'm like all pissed off and I'm pissed at my manager. You know, I didn't really want the guy to do that. And so I think, so that was 2000. In 2004, I'm with the Dodgers. And
how shocked were you when you touched third base, though? And
there's more backstory.
Yeah, I don't even know about 2004.
In 2004, I'm playing with the Dodgers. And what's the guy's name? Paul Shuey?
Okay, yeah. He used to be with the Indians.
Right.
Yeah.
He was rehabbing in Double A in Bowie that day.
Okay.
And he rode to the park with Joe Roa.
Wow. Okay.
And Joe Roa said, there's this punk on this team that I can't stand. We played him last year, or so-and-so told me. So, like, I'm 4 years later,
wow,
I hear
you're
why.
You're still.
I hear why this happened. And it's like somebody, like, the story from the year before when me and Cody Allison got into it, like, was misconstrued to, like, him. And so he had it in his mind that I'm just this, like, punk, right?
Yeah.
So I hit the home run. I pimped him, and he was pissed. So I come around third base. And out of the corner of my eye, I'm like, what is that? And it's the pitcher charging me.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, whoa. And like,
did he try to karate kick you?
Well, he ran at me and shoved me.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. And then we squared off. Bap, bap. You know, and like, I think I threw a punch. He might have thrown a punch. I think I stuck him maybe. I don't quite remember the particulars, but then the whole team was like right there.
Yeah.
It was like, whoa.
Because you guys were first base dugout, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, so you're on the wrong side.
I was on the wrong side. So I, like, got out there. I don't even know what's going on anyway. I'm like, why am I getting attacked? And so that was that whole thing. But I've never told this story. And then, you know, then 4 years later, I hear why. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that kind of makes sense. But, you know, here I am. I kind of feel like I'm the innocent bystander in all this. And I still think there's probably people out there that – today that probably hate me for the Kinston thing and the Cody Allison thing. And
Worthy, when you came to the Super Bowl, I bet you had no clue that this was going to be one of the
interviews. This is not on my bingo card for today.
That's awesome.
Is there another thing you want? Well, we got just a couple of minutes.
Well, I'll tell you what, because I know you're here to talk about other things. But so my last pitch ever in the major leagues, Jason, is 2007, last game in Philadelphia. You're on that team, right?
Yeah.
Ryan Howard crushes me, takes it into, like, I don't know, second deck or way up into the first deck. That was the loudest I've ever been in a baseball game. I give up the home run to Barry Bonds, 756, obviously super loud. That place in Philadelphia was going insane. That day. Can you talk about kind of playing in Philadelphia and maybe even that game where you guys miraculously make the playoffs?
That was towards the end of the year when we were like, we couldn't lose, the Mets couldn't win, we were seven back with 17 to play, and we run down the Mets, and Philadelphia is on fire. I mean, that place was going crazy. And then, you know, in 08, when we won the World Series, we were seven down with 20 to play. We were almost in the same situation. So those 2 years, really got Philadelphia, you know, out of its seat. And then we win and kind of turned, all right, like this, right? Like that. So that was, you know, awesome time to be in Philadelphia. You know, has made me as you know, my time in Philadelphia has turned me into an Eagles fan, and so I'm here to support my horse racing syndicate and partnership. And my podcast. I just started Off the Rails podcast by Icon Racing LFG on all the socials, and that's kind of why I'm here. But I'm also here because what a great time to be on a Radio Row and start this when the Eagles are in the Super Bowl.
Can it be like on YouTube? Can we catch you on?
Yeah. Okay. We just dropped our second episode on YouTube. Me and Sean Kelly. Sean Kelly was a journeyman, reliever, a setup guy, awesome guy, and from Louisville. I get in trouble from saying Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville.
You know, Louisville Slugger. I grew up swinging Louisville Sluggers, but it's Louisville and horse racing. So here we are doing some horse racing, having some fun. I had a horse named Dornock, won the Belmont last year.
Oh, wow.
And just horse racing has changed my life. I'm trying to bring more people into the sport. I got my hat on. Marga, make horse racing great again.
Nice.
Horse racing's kind of like, it's on the decline, and I think it shouldn't be. I think we're going to try to get the sport off the ground again. So make horse racing great again.
I know you got a boogie. Thank you very much, man, for the stories. That was outstanding.
That was amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Worth right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Take it with
Coming
you.
Up next, we'll talk with former Heisman Trophy winner, NFL All-Pro Ricky Williams right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now we bring to you former Heisman Trophy winner and man who crushed Kevin's football soul in 1998. It is Ricky Williams. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Was that a Nebraska reference?
No, that was an A&M reference.
A&M, even better.
Because, look, our really good teams are few and far between, and you're like, oh, that's neat. I think it's nice that you have a really good little team. Check this out. And, like, then to have the definitive run that essentially, maybe it was already done, but the definitive run that essentially clinched the Heisman while stomping all over our national championship dreams, it hurt a lot.
Yeah, and every... What is it, November 27th? You have to watch the run over and over again.
I do. Yeah. I mean, it lives rent-free in my head, though. So I'll tell you.
At least the game's back now. That's nice.
At least the game's
back.
That's
true.
Yeah. Yes.
And I will say, like, win or lose, I was just really excited that it was back because, like, my kiddos don't know that in their life. And, like, I was there when the bonfire fell and everything like that. And so I'm glad it's back, even if, like, obviously the game this year did not go the direction that I wanted.
It was a good game.
Yeah, it was.
It was a good game, yeah. I think it's good for football when the Longhorns are playing the Aggies.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you.
So you have two OU guys here, too.
Oh,
so
wow.
Kinda give us,
you guys do?
Well, actually, I went to UNT. My wife went to OU. Which one? Which one was the bigger rivalry for the guy in the game?
Honestly, you can't call it. It's different, right? One you get like the beginning, middle of the season. It's like the major test, and then the Aggies are always the last game. How you finish? But I mean, so when I first got to Texas, they tried to warn me. They said the game is faster, and I was like, that doesn't make any sense. And first OU game, I had 14 carries for 7 yards. Yes.
He said, okay, it does make
sense.
Yeah, I got it.
I learned, though, because that same freshman year when we went to College Station, I had 165 yards.
Oh, hey, thanks. On four carries. Now, I know I want to talk about healing from the gridiron, but another thing is, You've been at the Dallas Card Show at least once, maybe a couple of times, doing autographs and stuff. Do you get an opportunity to do, like, a lot of autograph things for people, like, out in the community? And I'm sure they all want to, like, tell you their story.
Yeah, I do several a year. In the past, I think, 4 years, I've done the Dallas Card Show. Yeah, and I love it. I just got off the phone with someone earlier today talking about doing it again this year.
Okay, so selfishly, one of the reasons I brought that up is the personalized or the kind of like inscription of smoke weed every day.
Oh, yeah.
We've sold one of those the last two seasons for a total of $1,400.
Yeah.
So we've gotten a ton off of that to help our charity that helps people with cognitive disabilities, and I just really appreciate that.
Weed is helping people.
It really is.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes. I really like that.
And I think that's kind of the what can you tell us about the healing from the gridiron and maybe how that incorporates in?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a big part of my story, but the healing from the NFL, healing from the gridiron, it's a play on words. One is, in order to me to have a high quality of life after football, you have to be able to heal from everything that happened to you while you're playing football. But two, we're taking people through so they can see the athlete's healing journey. And I think there's something that people can learn from guys healing from football, because football is such a wonderful sport because you put yourself through the ringer, and if you can't recover and get back and do it the next week, you ain't going to make it. And no one talks about how athletes, these wonderful athletes, have the ability to recover and do it over and over and over again for years. And the players that have played the longest already know what this is all about because they've learned to take care of their bodies.
You know, and this was something that you've been talking about for a really long time, and it struck a chord with me when you talked about, like, why is this not allowed in the game, but like some of those prescription pain pills and stuff that, like, there's a track record of people getting addicted to them and abusing them, and, like, they're much stronger. Why was that allowed? That struck a chord with me, like, a long time ago.
Yeah, you know, for me, the biggest issue is when you take those, you know, NSAIDs, the anti-inflammatories, or you take the Percocets or the Vicodin, it shuts your awareness off from your body.
Yeah.
Where things like cannabis and yoga, breath work, body work, they actually turn your awareness onto your body. And I think the biggest thing that scared me when I played is when I got hurt, I had no idea what was going on with my body. And it motivated me. I got an anatomy book, and I started looking through the book, and I would say to the doctor, this is what hurts.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's really about promoting guys to learn as much as they can about their tool, about their bodies. And even that knowledge about your body will help your body recover faster because you know what to do.
You ever think we'd have two former Texas Rangers on the air at the same time?
Rule 5 draft.
Yeah. Mike was pitcher for the Rangers and a couple of other teams as well.
I have a baseball question for you.
Yeah.
If, let's just say, at 18 years old, you're drafted by the Phillies, am I correct?
Yeah.
If you would have said, I'm going to commit my sports career to baseball, how do you think it would have gone?
I'd have been a professional baseball player.
Uh-huh.
No doubt. Yeah.
In what position? Outfield?
I'd have been an outfielder. You know, I played third base pretty much my whole life.
Yeah.
When I got drafted, they say this kid can run.
Yeah.
And they put me in left field.
Yeah. There you go.
How many games did you play in the minor leagues?
So the first year I graduated from high school and went to short season A. June? I played probably 50 games.
Okay.
And then the second year I went to spring training, and so I got to play all the way from the beginning of the season. So I probably played 60 games.
And went to Piedmont?
I went to Piedmont, yeah.
Yeah.
I went to Piedmont 2 years, and the next year I probably played 30 games. So I probably played 150, 200 games.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. I know A.J. Brown. I know you got to go. But A.J. Brown is actually a really good baseball player.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He probably would have made it to the major leagues. That would have been his thing. So
yeah.
See you later, Ricky.
Healing from the gridiron.com. There's a dash between each word. Healing from the gridiron.com. Man, thank you very much.
Yeah,
I know you got a boogie there. They're waving you down. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ricky Williams right here on 105.3 The Fan. With a KNC masterpiece coming up next. Let's do some Super Bowl stew, NFL awards, expert predictions, and Ireland next right here on The Fan.
But they snap it. Blitz again. Stroud in trouble. Karlaftis is there. Kansas City ball.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live on Radio Row in New Orleans. Thank you very much to Stella Artois for making that happen. Also, thank you to the Lowe T Center and, of course, Best Buy Windows and Siding. Hopefully, you've been watching those confessional videos. But right now, it's time for yet another helping of Super Bowl Stew.
And yep.
Oh, that was nice.
Is that what we're supposed to do?
Kinda.
Okay. And it's weird. You stewed it instead of gravied it.
That's true. We Biscuits. Start with Josh Allen. Josh Allen MVP. Is the MVP, as we predicted. Man. It was really weird to see all these people, like, shocking turn of events. And I was like, not really if you followed the betting lines. We told you what was going to happen.
Did you see that text I sent you yesterday about how drastically the betting lines changed at, like, 5 minutes before they made the announcement?
Yes.
It just turned out of nowhere. I thought that was wild.
They're like, nope, we got it.
I saw somebody post this morning, Kevin. They posted Jokic, Embiid, Jokic, and that was as the example of, yeah, like, that's what this is.
Yeah.
Lamar.
Oh, voter fatigue.
Lamar
I
had
totally
the best
agree
season,
with that.
But he didn't get it.
But can I tell you another thing that I think would have changed it? Like, I firmly believe this with all of my heart. If the Ravens would have won the Super Bowl last year, I believe that Lamar Jackson would have won this MVP.
Okay.
People are describing it as voter fatigue. I think it's also lack of playoff success that factored in. Even though this is a regular season award, that shouldn't factor it in. I totally think if Lamar Jackson would have won the Super Bowl, he would have won the MVP again last night. Last year, if he would have won the Super Bowl.
I think that Josh Allen is a deserving MVP.
Sure.
You can also say, for to put this on his ledger is a good thing for him because he does deserve an MVP. This just happened to be the weird season.
Yeah.
You know, the weird season where Lamar's numbers, the way he played, were just exceptional. But that's the way that it lands sometimes with the voters.
So Josh Allen got 27 first-place votes to Lamar's 23. One person voted Josh Allen third, and one person voted Lamar Jackson fourth.
Okay, so Saquon would have been ahead of him. I'm trying to think of who else might have been ahead of him.
Joe Burrow.
Oh, yeah. Joe Burrow had a phenomenal year, man.
But, yeah, so that it shook out Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Saquon Barkley, Joe Burrow, and
this is
Jared
one of
Goff.
The best years probably in the last 5 years where you had truly like four or five guys that deserved it. Like last year, nothing against Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson was solid last year, and Dak Prescott. We watched him play.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't an MVP-like season.
The top three this year, I know it's the same guy, but these top three seasons, Josh, Lamar, and Saquon, all would have easily won the MVP last year.
Yeah, I agree. And you just mentioned Burrow, which probably he would have might won MVP last year.
And you brought it up. They went 15-1 when he was quarterbacking. Patrick Mahomes is sixth.
Yeah. Next question. Early prediction. Who's winning it next year?
MVP?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Dak. I mean, you can't finish second and then not finish first 2 years later.
I think Burrow's going to win it.
I could see that. I really could.
Back and have another year just like
after
that.
After they start off 0-3 or
whatever. Yeah, they're going to start off 0-3
and then they'll really
turn it up.
Then they'll really turn it on. By the way, the Associated Press released all of the information on the awards ballots, like in terms of who voted for what, and AP voters are like, hey, you didn't tell us you're going to do that.
So, well, what, are you ashamed of it? Look,
I kind of feels like it,
ready
right?
For, like,
if you want transparency, be transparent about all of it.
Yes.
Are you embarrassed?
Yeah.
My little underdog pick here, I don't know where he'll be on the odds when it comes time. How about Jaden Daniels?
I like that. That's a good one, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
That's really
good.
Like,
I'm not saying he should be a favorite. I'm saying if you kind of want, like, ones where you're getting pretty good odds.
I bet you can get good numbers on that now. Yeah. I could see that.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. We're going to keep going. All right. I wanted to bring up Jim Tyrer. Do you remember this? So Jim Tyrer was the guy on the senior committee who I told you six-time All-Pro, but then he murdered his wife.
Oh, yeah. Did he get in?
He did not get into the Hall of Fame either. And so, like, I get why it doesn't make as much news as Eli or, obviously, more locally, Darren Woodson. But we talked about the story of Jim Tyrer. He did not make the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Well, that's an interesting reaction.
Well, you know, Kevin, I thought that was actually a fascinating story,
it,
a fascinating
it really
conversation.
Is.
about him.
And I wonder if, like, I don't know what it would take if they, like, you know, really did check everything out and they're like, confirmed, 100% he had CTE, if then people would go back. I know that's something that they have said is the case, but it was complicated. We talked about the story, and I wanted to throw it out there.
All right.
Now, good things happen when Patrick Mahomes gets rid of the ball quickly, and he's very good at getting rid of the ball quickly. When he throws the ball within 2.75 seconds, so this is his average per game, within 2.75 seconds, his team's record is 39-1.
Dang!
He has 98 touchdowns versus 13 interceptions and averages 288 yards per game. So when he's getting rid of the ball quickly, you're screwed.
Yeah.
That's probably not a very insightful way to put it, but you're screwed.
And that's kind of the way with a lot of quarterbacks. You know, they want to get it out of your hand. The big play might not be there, but, you know, you got to get it out of your hand. But you're also catching a defense off guard.
That's,
you know what I'm
true.
Saying? When you're doing something like that, this is like throwing a fastball, then a changeup, then hitting them back. You know, it's like just keeping them off balance, and all of a sudden their timing is now all messed up, and then there he is being the success that he is. He knows how to push and go.
How much money do other people have than our company? Because I'm watching Football is Sexy pack up. Mm-hmm. I forget the girl's name who does it.
Uh-huh.
They're just throwing everything in the trash. They had life-size posters of Jerry Rice and I'm forgetting
Michael Irvin.
Michael Irvin. They had a whole like tarp behind them, like we have this Odyssey Sports.
Yeah.
Just think if they're just like, we're not taking this wherever. Just dump it in the trash.
Oh,
they literally
God.
Just dumped the whole set in the trash.
Wow.
Like, we got money.
they got money.
Flush.
Yeah. We're not.
The Steelers must love Ireland.
Okay.
Because the fans, their excitement is doubling. Because they're going to be playing.
Go to break. We can't top that. I can't top it. The rest of the show, what am I supposed to do, Corey? Now I got to think of jokes.
Allocated it.
That's not your responsibility.
The NFL is coming to Dublin, and the Steelers are going to be the designated team, one of the designated teams that is going to play in that game.
We don't know the other team yet?
Who's the other team?
No, we don't know the other team yet. Just like the Rams in Australia, we don't know the other team just yet. All right. This is a lot of experts, Corey, so you're still going to be annoyed. 28NFL.com.
It should be Notre Dame.
Experts.
They're the fighting Irish.
Dude, for some reason the Steelers played Notre Dame, I would definitely watch that game. All right.
Because Ireland.
No, I get it. I did.
Irish.
I got it.
Ire of the Tiger.
Oh, my God.
Bengals. You just named the team. Yeah, you gave it away.
You're welcome.
Bengals.
Because they're a tiger.
Yep. No, I got it. I promise. So 28 experts from NFL.com
Detroit Tigers.
Made their Super Bowl picks. How do you think it broke down from the experts at NFL.com?
12 win, 12 lose, 4 tie. Is that what we're
going to get?
The math workout? You said 28 experts?
Yeah, who did they pick to win the Super Bowl?
15 to 13.
Yeah. They picked 12 for the Chiefs, 12 for the Eagles, and 4 for the tie.
4 ties.
Huh. This is what, Kevin, that's how I think about
it. I think they should ask them after the game's over. Just to show how smart they are.
Kevin, all right.
Think about how smart the NFL.com would look if you asked them all after the game, what do you think the final score was?
I really think that this is probably really close to being flat. I don't think anybody's really like had
That's
a
why
decision
I said 15-13
on
Kansas City.
Whether it's going to be the Eagles or Chiefs. It's a difficult game to pick, so I feel like you're probably 13-15.
Yeah, that's a good answer, too.
21-7, Chiefs.
Holy crap,
wow,
really?
That's a low scoring game.
Because nobody wants to
that, No, that is the break. That is the breakdown of the picks.
Kevin's
not
gonna lose
the score
today, guys.
Of the freaking game.
Kevin is going to lose it today.
So the NFL.com, 21-7, Kansas City wins.
I thought I was going to be able to help Kevin a little bit, but it's not going to help.
But my concern is for... 105.1. It's for that Kansas City station. I'm just going to storm off and join their show. And I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm on your show now.
When
what are we talking about?
Hey, I was thinking
you
about
have to
doing.
Move, though.
Yeah, I was
are
thinking
you okay
about
with
doing,
that?
No, just for today.
Oh.
I was thinking about doing a host swap.
What if you did a good job and they're hiring you and you tell Jess,
they're like,
great news, I'm coming back, but pack the bags. We're headed to Kansas City.
We're moving all
We're
of
a
our
Royals
stuff.
Family yeah. now.
Oh. Believe it or not, I have more stuff. Maybe. All right. Let's go.
Maybe the Mavericks will move there.
Let's go from that to, does it surprise you that thus far more individual, kind of like your prop bets, have been placed on Saquon Barkley than Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce combined?
Oh, wow. No, that doesn't surprise me. Barkley's, I mean, everything he accomplished this year. He was already a very well-accomplished running back before that, even in college. So, you know, he's finally getting that opportunity. Everybody knows he's a star. Like, he is one of the weapons on the field, one of the best weapons on the field. So it does not surprise me that people are betting around him.
This is a rep from MGM Grand. No touchdown from Saquon would be massive against us. However, if he does happen to score, limiting it to just one score would really help us out. So, like, multiple people have the 2-3. You can get 66-1 on your money if you think he can go for 4 touchdowns. That probably feels like too much.
Oh, wow. Has any, besides quarterback thrown, has anybody ever scored 4 touchdowns in a Super Bowl? Like, as a player?
Not John Riggins. That feels unlikely, but we'll have to look that up. I'm sure if somebody knows on the Fantex, the YouTube, or the Twitch, they will let us know. Prime Video, if you didn't like the playoff exclusives on the streaming services, we've talked about this before. Prime is going to have a playoff game again in 2026 and in 2027 as part of their TV deal. I feel like we've tried to prepare people for it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
You like it or don't, that's the way it is.
And, you know, there are going to be some times where I just miss anything that's on Peacock. I'm just going to miss that. And that's the one that I don't have. And I'm not necessarily going out of my way. I do happen to have most of the other ones.
You get all the wrestling.
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, that's good.
Now, let's talk some more about Quinyon Mitchell. We haven't really had an opportunity. I know you brought up Mitchell and DeJean yesterday, but in their 3 playoff games, DeJean has given up 10 catches for 97 yards total. And Quinyon Mitchell, on 15 targets, has given up 5 catches for 24 yards, no touchdowns, with 2 picks.
Good night.
That is insane.
He's special, man. And like Baldy was saying yesterday, he just got his chance in Brazil. You know, he got his opportunity and has just taken off since then. Every opportunity he's had. So, like, that's just very impressive on his part. Very impressive.
We're going to do a little producing on the air. I assume you want me to just keep going? All right. Sorry, Alec. Right now.
It's your email.
Yeah. We are going to bring on. Well, in just a second, we are going to bring on tennis icon Billie Jean King. Man, look at things happening already. I thought he meant in the future, like another day we might talk to Billie Jean King. But no, it is happening right now in just a minute or so. Wanted to throw this out there one more time, something to consider. You guys said it could be a tight game. Remember, the Chiefs have won 17 straight one-score games.
Wow.
So if you do think it's going to come down to the wire, history, or I guess the present, overwhelmingly says it is going to be in support of the Chiefs. Ladies and gentlemen,
have a seat. Let's
right
have a fun
now
time.
We bring to you one of the greatest of all time. I'm sorry, I better correct that.
You're a big Steffi Graf fan. Is
greatest
that what you're
I do like Steffi Graf. The greatest of all time. It is Billie Jean King.
But she didn't play doubles or mix like I did.
That's true.
And
that's
I'm a
true
team girl.
Okay.
I'm a team person.
So do you have your own greatest of all time men's list, women's list? Because when I said one of the greatest of all time, you made sure to say one of. Come on. Where do we stack the greatest men or greatest women?
Well, Stephanie's right up there, so you're in good. You did well, actually. I was really impressed with that.
Serena, obviously.
I just think the younger the generations usually. I think every generation gets better, probably. They should. There's more information. There's more competition. There's more everything. More help. I can't believe the help. It's fantastic. So, I mean, right now the 3 guys are Djokovic and, you know, and Federer and Nadal. Without any, those 3 are like, I don't think we'll ever have 3. That great. And then you get Alcaraz, who was born like 20 years ago, and these guys played for 20 years.
Yeah.
So that's all he's seen. And every generation thinks they can be better than the next, and they usually are, because there's more information, more the technique, the nutrition, the psychology, the everything you get in sports, whether it be, you know, it doesn't matter what sport.
Djokovic had a dust up with the Australian Open media, and I understand why he was upset. One of the hosts was like, he's overrated.
What?
And, yeah. And they
overrated?
Said,
yeah, he's won 24 slams.
I know. And he said he was washed up. And
oh, that's not. He wanted to get a reaction.
I think you're right. And Djokovic said, I'm not talking to L-Station. I'm sure. I know media has changed over the year, but over the years, but I'm sure there was some times, or were there some times, when maybe you heard something a media person said, and it's like, I don't want to talk to that person, or maybe that made you want to talk to that person.
Well, my generation, we started women's professional tennis. I talked to anybody and everybody.
Right.
I didn't care if they're negative, positive. We're trying to sell our sport. I mean, I didn't stop. Kind of like today, you know, how we go to round
sure.
everybody here.
Yeah.
You know, right before the Super Bowl. So, no, I had these moments, yes, that you want to just tell them to, where to go. But
sure.
My job was to promote my sport. I always think every athlete should be supporting their and promoting their sport. And I think now that we have social media, it's good news, bad news, because I try to tell the players, when you go to a media conference after your match and you look at those people, they're trying to make a living too. And you never,
right.
I don't think they ever think about it.
Yeah.
And I try to get players to think in terms of we and not I.
Yeah.
Every time, I mean, today it's always about the player and about him or her. And I'm like, really? What about your sport? What about other players? What about promoting your sport and all that? So I guess I'm from the old school, but we talk. I talk to athletes, you've got to think in we and not I. And most athletes and others today think they use the word I all the time. And I think it's not inclusive enough. You're not promoting your sport enough. You're not telling people why it's such a great journey. And I don't know. I just have a responsibility that way, I think.
And, like, I know it doesn't hurt as much as the loss itself, but...
I hate losing.
Oh, okay.
Oh!
So
oh,
see,
I hate it.
But I was going to say, as long as y'all recognize, a lot of those reporters don't want to be there either to be like, hey, tell me about why you lost. Like, that's not fun, a fun conversation either. Do you hate to lose more than you like to win?
Yes.
Okay, I'm the same way.
Oh, can't stand
Some
it.
Some people don't understand that.
Oh,
though.
It never leaves. The losses never leave. The wins go whoop out the window, right, pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and then you go on to the next thing.
Exactly. Now, maybe I shouldn't say this, but since you brought it up, is there a loss that immediately jumped to the top of your head when you said the losses never leave you?
I have so many. You know, it's amazing how many losses you do have in your life besides wins. You know, and yet you've won more, you know, I'm not saying me, but players win more than anybody else, and yet if you look at their journey, you learn a lot. I always ask players when I'm coaching, why did you win? And you cannot believe how they give me this stare, like, huh? I go, why did you win today? You would not believe how they're stymied. Now, if they lose and I ask why, they can tell me.
Lots of reasons,
but
yeah.
I want people to know why they win. That's what makes greatness, and winners practice their strengths every day. I mean, you can't be great at every part of the game. You know you're going to have some parts of your sport better than others, like your backhand or forehand or your volley or serve, half volley. I mean, there's so many strokes in tennis. So it's like, what do you do great? You know, like, what is your best? And make sure you practice it every day. And I'm talking about life. People out there listening, think about your life. Don't keep harping on what you can't do. Really appreciate what you can do and keep practicing it in everyday life. And that's winners. That's why winners think. So anyway, I'm really big on being good to yourself. I'm tough on myself, but I don't know. I'm still really
positive.
That's
how you got to be so great, I guess.
And I embrace pressure. I love pressure.
Now,
I always did as a kid. And my younger brother, Randy Moffitt, played 12 years of professional baseball. And my parents did a great job. They never asked us if we won. And to all the parents out there, when you see your child, don't ask them if they won. Just say, how was your day?
Mm.
And believe me, the child will tell you if they won or lost.
Yeah, they will.
My poor parents, I'm like, I lost. And then my dad said, it's all right, it's all right. I go, no, it's not all right, I lost. He goes, I only want to know one thing. Did you try your best?
Okay, yeah. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Dove.
Oh, yeah, Dove.
And the commercial you guys got coming up. What can you tell me there?
Well, the great thing, the reason I'm here is that Dove, first of all, it's got great products. But more importantly for what we're doing is that 45% of girls drop out of sports because we're told we don't have the right body type. And girls are always taught to be perfect and look great and all that. And guys are taught to be brave, which they can't be brave all the time either. That's baloney.
Right.
So I don't like the way we're socialized. But Dove is doing a great job of changing self-esteem in women and girls And they've reached 114 million girls so far in 153 countries. They're trying to get to 250 million by 2030. And we know if we can keep a girl in sports, I know because I started the Women's Sports Foundation 51 years ago.
We could say it was 21.
No, I like 51. We've been going longer, giving more money back, millions and millions of dollars for local programs. And grants and that and other things, travel and training. So anyway, it's fantastic because it's a long-term effort by Dove. It's not this little come in and out for a campaign for 2 months. That's why I decided to go, because I looked at what they're really doing.
Yeah.
And it's really effective. They're trying to teach us much stronger self-talk and visualization and all that, which I've always done, and it really works. So I just want girls to do something because they love it. And I was told I could never be number one because I wore glasses. And of course, I always wanted to be number one. I didn't want to be number two or three. I'm kind of fanatical. And everyone said, you'll never make it because you wear glasses. And I remember I was 12 years old or 13, and I said, I'm gonna show them. And I did. So it's like, you should never tell a child that, just let them go. They'll be fine.
Well, I've learned how to outro this correctly now. You consider singles, doubles, the whole package, the greatest women's tennis player.
No, I like it. Most of the players today only play singles.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Billie Jean King right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next from the NFL Network, football's resident data scientist Cynthia Freeland right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.